You guys know I'm crazy about Audible because it offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Audible really is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment, with female writers and heroines, celebrity narration, multicast productions with immersive sound design, and traditional audiobooks. Audible has you covered for any type of excitement that you're looking for. In fact, right now I'm listening to The Second Husband by Kate White. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. That's audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. With four daughters and two on a dance team, I can tell you we go through a lot of mascara in my house. But I'm crazy about L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara, which catches every lash from corner to corner for maximum volume. If you're looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank, this is yours. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. I've been using it for about 2 weeks now, and I feel like my eye has completely opened up, and the girls are crazy about it too. They've got a tapered brush to catch every lash, one of the best mascara wands that I've ever used. And like I said, this luxe appearance of this gold package, you got to get it. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today. L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara, you're going to love it. Welcome back to another episode of Reality Life with Kate Casey. Hope that you're having a great week, even though the World Health Organization just named COVID-19 as a worldwide pandemic. I don't know about you guys, but I just feel like in every couple, there is somebody who's always bracing for Armageddon. And in my relationship, it's my husband. I've been given an email requesting that I order many things online, including toilet paper and paper towels, razors, canned milk, turkey and beef jerky, crackers, protein bars, batteries, charcoal, firewood. And by the way, again, it's in categories, 30, 60, and 90-day supplies. So maybe he's like overly prepared. I don't know. It's bordering on creepy. He could be right because I do watch a lot of Instagram videos where people in China have not left their apartments for 2 weeks. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Is it the worst thing that we're all hanging out at home all day watching TV shows? Well, actually, that's not true. I have to homeschool them. God damn it. I'm going to have to homeschool my kids. I am not up for that job. If somebody is in the local area and they are a teacher and they are not currently affected with COVID-19, if you could message me and tell me if you are skilled in the arts of writing tutoring or math tutoring, I might take you up on an offer. We could meet at a park. We wear face masks, hazmat suits, whatever, but I might need some help tutoring my children. In other news, Harvey Weinstein just got sentenced to 23 years in prison, and that's great. I'm wondering if he's going to take his walker with him when he goes into jail. I'm assuming he's probably going to be bunked up with somebody. That jackass is probably going to be bragging in jail about all the movies he's making, and these guys are going to be like, we're watching Love After Lockup tonight, so I don't know what you're talking about. I feel like there's a good portion of people that are in prison who really love reality shows. Like a lot of men surprisingly like The Real Housewives. I think I read that Joe GDG said that he watched Housewives while in prison. So that should be interesting for him. Of course, the big news this week in reality TV is the Bachelor two-part finale. Now, I'm going to review it with Stacey later in the podcast, but if you don't watch the show, you should know this. The entire season was real slow. There wasn't much there. There was this rumor that Peter may have been having sex with one of the producers. And I started to wrap my brain around that and actually became hopeful of it because I thought this could be like a Hallmark movie where you are tasked with bedding 25 women in your own way and coming with some conclusion at the end of it that there is a girl worthy of a borrowed engagement ring. He could not come to that conclusion by the end of it. It could be because his mother, Barb, runs that household with an iron fist. It could be because she saw it as an opportunity to get herself back on television. It could be that he's like his father and has no testicles and can't make decisions, even though he's 28 and lives at home. I think that maybe it's possible. I'm still holding out a glimmer of hope that he and the producer, Julie, became so close that it clouded his judgment, because he had hoped that at some point, once the contracts were void, that she had moved on to The Bachelorette, that the producers didn't care about his daily schedule, that he could at some point reunite with her and they could live the way that they had always wanted in the last couple weeks. But I'm worried that that might not be true. I'm worried that Peter will go back to line dancing and will probably meet somebody that's from, you know, the Valley. I don't know if I'm holding out hope that there will be ultimate true love with somebody associated with the show. But I have to say thanks to his mom for making the finale worth watching. The eye rolling was worthy of a daytime Emmy. She and Susan Lucci should maybe pull it together and do something. Now, one last thing about The Bachelor, which I always find interesting, is that whenever the Bachelor contestant or the given Bachelor or Bachelorette meet up with their families, the mother is always sobbing as if the child has just been sent off to war or a Mormon mission and is returning home. I mean, they just left home a couple weeks ago. What's the big deal? It's not that big of a deal to fly around the world and to date a bunch of people. I mean, he's not working in the mine. And I have to tell you, my sister doesn't see me for weeks at a time because she lives in New Jersey. When we're reunited, when she lands and gets off the plane, I pull up my car, she'll say, "Hey, what's up?" And then she'll jump in the car. That's if I even go to the airport. Most of the time, I'm just like, can't you just Uber to my house? So I just can't relate to these people. So I did have Stacey from the Regulars Podcast, Toronto-based comedian and podcast host, to help me review not just The Bachelor, but the Love is Blind finale. Because I do think that everybody in the world right now needs a love story in the midst of this disaster, this virus disaster. And I think that Love is Blind has won out, because I do believe that the contestants or the cast members of Love is Blind were a little bit older. So there was more self-actualization. And that's why I think the Bachelor producers purposely chose not Hannah Ann, who got jilted, not the girl that does catalog work, who just graduated from college and does modeling, but the 38-year-old who has been on 5 different Bachelor Nation shows, because there's probably a little bit more self-actualization. That said, I just saw the list of contestants for her show, and a lot of them are younger than 38. So I've got one finger kind of crossing over the other, but it's like still up in the air, not totally crossed over. So we'll see what happens. I also asked Alon Christine from the Worst Ever Podcast to review a show on Netflix called Next in Fashion. This is like a Project Runway ripoff. And what's great about it is Alaa works with Alyssa Milano. So he was on the set before of Project Runway. So he's kind of seen behind the scenes. So I was interested to hear his take, but also he loves all reality shows. I went to LA to interview them and I could barely get out the door. He was like, no, we have to still talk about what happened with Ponytail Gate on Real Housewives. And what do you think about Shaw's? And that is my kind of person. So make sure that you check out Next in Fashion on Netflix so you can kind of see what we're saying in this segment. Also, I've got a page with merchandise. You can get sweatshirts, baby onesies, t-shirts, whatever you want. And it's on the Spreadshirt website. You can go to Reality Life with Kate Casey. You can find the link to it in my Facebook page, Twitter, Instagram. Send me a note. I will send it to you. Really funny stuff. It's great for like a baby shower or a bridal shower, or even somebody who's like recently going through a divorce and you're like, let me do something for you that will really like make you want to high kick your way into a bar. And that would be with the t-shirt that says "That Tracks" or "Where is my reality show" or "Armchair Psychologist" or just the name of the show, Reality Life with Kate Casey. It's really fun and I hope you check it out. And make sure you leave a 5-star review on iTunes. So here we go with the episode, The Bachelor and Love is Blind finale and Netflix's Next in Fashion. Next in Fashion is a reality show and fashion design competition series debuting on Netflix in January, hosted by designers Tan France and Alexa Chung. Over 10 episodes, 18 designers compete in rounds based on design trends and styles that influence what other people wear worldwide. Similar to Bravo's Project Runway, the contestants are all professionals who've been dressing celebrities and working with major fashion houses. The winner receives $250,000 and can debut a collection with Net-a-Porter, a luxury fashion retailer. I have asked Christine and Ala from Worst Ever Podcast to review this show. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kate, for having us.
First of all, Christine never watches reality TV. She does watch some of it, but it pains her deeply to watch it. So to get you to watch this was a real achievement.
Well, look, don't do deep dives, okay? I'm a longtime avid Survivor fan. I have watched since season one. I never miss an episode.
Yeah, I've stopped.
I'm also a Housewives freak. So I watch a lot of the Housewives, not all, but most. But yeah, Project Runway, things like that. But to go on a deep dive on a new show is sometimes a little challenging for me because I have my comfort zones.
Sure.
Now, this was not my favorite.
No,
I'm honest.
I'm dying to know what you think.
Who, me? Oh, listen.
You watch every reality show under the sun.
That was hours and hours of life that I missed. I could have watched other reality shows.
Like Judge Judy.
I TiVo Judge Judy. So I know I have that. I TiVo People's Court. I love any kind of court stuff. And I do love fashion. I love competitions. This, however.
It had all the making. There was a lot of things that on paper seemed right. Mm-hmm. For instance, the difference between this and Project Runway is that these people actually had a leg up already. These are the people who have worked for Stella McCartney, who have their own line, who have dressed Beyonce, who have dressed, you know, Gwen Stefani. They should be at a place where, like, they should be taking that next leap to make a real name for themselves. They had all the money and the fabrics in the world. Like, it was...
The budget was insane.
Insane.
But the problem was I think...
It was compelling.
It was miscast. Mm-hmm. The cast to me was so boring. Like
Lackluster.
Yeah. I felt like they teamed them up on purpose for drama, which they got none.
It was very confusing, the teams.
There was no backstory on them except for little snippets here and there. And I'm going, this is a commercial-free show. They have plenty of time to like really – I think the misstep was in the editing. Mm. I think that they it was the same thing every episode. There was no, I wasn't like, can't wait to the next episode. I like the host. I think they're okay.
Sort of like a British baking show.
Yeah, it was just a weird vibe. The whole opening and ending to each show was kind of sort of laughing-ish.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense. And every time I could never remember what one of the hosts named Alexa.
Yes.
And every time he would say, ask Alexa, I literally thought they had like a component with Amazon or something. And I was like, is there like I didn't understand. I was like, what's going on? And the fashions were beautiful, but it was, I did love that Asian, what's her name? The one that ended up winning. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, you can say the winner.
No, she was great. Her collection
at the
end was amazing.
I loved her because she was so vulnerable throughout the whole thing. And the fact that she was questioning herself so much. Mm-hmm. I thought she was amazing. The British guy, I thought he did beautiful work, but I was like, you know.
I was actually distracted by how thin Alexa was. I found that very concerning as a woman watching. It really got under my skin because I kept thinking, if she's that skinny on the show, I can't even imagine what she looks like in person.
Correct. And forgive me, I don't know her background at all.
She's just a model.
She's a model.
She
became like a TV correspondent.
Got it.
You know what else I find distracting, but in a good way, because it kept me entertained, is Tan France's hair. I feel like I could have a Tan France today.
He's got beautiful hair.
He has beautiful hair, and I don't know what he does to keep it so high, but it is gorgeous. Yeah, the drama on the show.
There was no drama.
Well, Marco got impaled.
But who cares?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like the other guy finished, and everyone was so friendly. You guys, it's $250,000. It's a competition. And like they're all helping each other. I'm like,
I know.
That's the one thing that Project Runway has over this show is that they focus a lot on the behind the scenes stuff that's happening. By the way, on Project Runway All Stars, I can't speak for Project Runway. They literally had 11 hours total from start to finish to do their collections. 11 hours. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, and I just felt like the like streetwear.
The stakes weren't high enough.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Stakes.
And I think it's also like, you know, it felt a little bit like they were paired up in these odd pairings. But like, for instance, Marco and his partner, they knew each other forever. Yeah. It wasn't like
the same.
It was almost like a helpful pairing, all of them.
Two African-American
women. They were like sisters.
And the Asian females.
Whereas on Project Runway, they're all individuals. They're all out for themselves. And then they make them pair up with people that they're like not into. And that creates great drama for the show.
Agreed.
You know, and I think it can like, people either have to overcome it or it can end up in like a full on disaster.
But the workroom was gorgeous. The fabric room was amazing. The runway was beautiful. I hated the finale where they like sat in quiet talking to each other. It was just such a weird, with the audience in black behind them. I was like, what is...
I also felt like many of the stylistic choices of like the camera would like zoom in these like strange ways. I thought was, I don't know, I thought it was very, very odd.
The set design felt a little bit like a Michael's prison to me. You know, I just didn't feel like I could really invest in all of the episodes. So what was your take? Or is this a show that we agree that we should tell people to pass on?
Yeah.
Pass.
Oh, yeah.
If they get a season two, I'll be shocked.
Well, and I have to say, you know, side note, I was really excited the first episode because I know Marco. Marco. I worked with him maybe 15 years ago.
Yeah.
He's from LA, obviously. I did a musical called Annie Rexic. That's right. It was the story of the orphan Annie and the Odyssey of the Bulimic Orphans.
It was
a total parody about a girl who wants to get adopted, but Miss Hannigan tells her she's too fat, so she becomes anorexic. It's a total satire about like the way you look
They got a cease and desist by the original production.
Of course.
But all right, go ahead.
I played Olivia Horbucks. Yeah. I was a power lesbian who adopted Annie. Annie was played in drag by our friend Scott, who wrote the entire thing. But Marco did all of the costumes, and they were outrageous. I mean, they were incredible.
And he's an underwear designer too, and lingerie originally. And so we did a music video.
Yes, like a few years after Annie, right. And we all wore the like crazy Lycra Marco.
We wore his like underwear in the video.
I mean, that's how long he's been. This is when he had a tiny little shop on Las Palmas. And before he was doing, like right before Black Eyed Peas, that was the thing that really launched him. So it was really cool to see him because he is super talented.
And had some real success with Stars.
Yes.
He just missed the mark by deciding to do this show.
Okay, well, tell everybody where they can catch your podcast and where they can find you and figure out what you're working on right now.
So our podcast is Worst Ever Podcast. You can find us on Acast and everywhere else you listen to podcasts. On Instagram, we are at Worst Ever Podcast. And I'm Christine Lakin. You can find me at Yo Lakin.
And I'm at Alec Led. You can find me at, don't ask, just find me at Alec Led. It's not my real, I mean, it's my professional name, my acting name.
Maybe you should
change it.
I feel like it's time to do that.
I want to change it. I'm just scared.
Why?
Do I lose my followers with the name change?
No.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Okay. What if Alec Khaled? I only want to change it because my brother, because I know.
No, you should. That's what I've been telling you.
I know. That would actually, you could lean more into that.
I know, but then I was like, are they going to, I am going to be on his coattails, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. I don't fucking care. Brother.
I'm 3 years older than him. I'm the older brother. He owes me the followers.
You made the coattails.
Right. He sure does.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for having us on.
Thank you.
I mean, our podcast is not about reality, but we talk a lot about reality.
I'm obsessed.
He's obsessed. 90
Day Fiancé, I love you.
So good.
Love After Lockup, genius. You're crazy. What do you hate about it?
It's a little bit depressing because I've interviewed some of them.
Oh, I would love to. If you can get them as guests.
I feel like
it's not our show.
I feel like I'm 3 minutes away from them having an overdose, and it can be a little bit depressing.
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah. It's a little dark.
Yeah, I'm all in it.
There are a lot of conversations where I'm telling them, you know, you're better than this. It's dark.
No.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, which ones did you have on?
I got to remember. I forgot. Okay. Caitlin. Caitlin. She was somebody's girlfriend, and they both were druggies.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. It's the best show. It's so good.
And Gloria, she was a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. She basically admitted she went on there to be a TV star.
It worked.
Yeah. Ouch.
Yeah. But did it work?
And you don't like the 90 Day Fiancé?
I feel like it has lost its luster. Mm. The first seasons were fantastic, and now it's just like cheese balls that are like going online to find somebody just so they can be on television.
Mm, I disagree.
It's difficult.
I love it. I love a K-1 visa.
Stacey McGonigal is a podcast host, co-host of the Regulars podcast. I have tracked her down today in Toronto, Canada.
Hello, I'm so excited to be here.
Do you enjoy Meghan Markle?
Okay, so thank you for asking that question. I've been waiting to answer it. I'm loving like their exit strategy right now. Like I'm just loving all the shadiness of her. And I am a fan. I feel like she's gone in there and imploded the royal family, and we have to just applaud that regardless.
Do you think that William sleeps with one eye open because she may or may not have revealed that he had an alleged affair?
Okay. I just found out about this like literally 2 weeks ago. Yeah. There is shade among shade, and Kate is not happy. And that's very clear.
Tell me about your love for The Bachelor.
I am obsessed with it. I have really gotten back into it. It found me at the right time. I took a break at Colton season, but Hannah called to me and I like, you know, got right back into it. It's the best. First of all, it's so unifying. And if people find out you watch it, I feel like you're part of like a community. It's so set up, but yet we all believe it and we all like put real feelings behind it. And I can't hear otherwise.
Are the people of Toronto into The Bachelor like they are in the States?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Like, it's a huge thing here. I mean, I've been trying to like create a big, like live watch party, and I'm hoping for the next season I can get my stuff together to do it. It's huge here.
This season we had Peter the pilot. He came down, it came down to the two finalists, Hannah Ann and Madison.
Yes.
Did you believe going into this part two finale that there was a possibility that he would propose to one of these girls and remain engaged to this day?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It was so crazy that he just proposed to Hannah, just I think because she was there, because she survived the slippery rocks. And he was like, okay, you'll do.
And he proposed to her on a plank in the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
He had her wear a wedding gown, but it was a little bit too matronly for her. It was something that you would see like a 45-year-old woman wear for her second or third wedding. He mentioned that his heart was split into two different ways, and yet he still gave her a borrowed ring, and she said yes. Do you believe that when she returned to her hotel that they were together and they had sex, or she returned to her hotel, packed up her stuff, got on a flight back, and then proceeded to tell her family and friends that she'd made the biggest mistake of her life?
I agree with the latter. I don't think it was like this romantic, like I don't think they, you know, pulled out that skeleton key from Fantasy Suites and like went into a hotel room together. I think it was an awkward separation. And she was like, I think the phone call to parents would be like, my Instagram's about to pop off. And like, I can't wait for like the Revolve brand trips. But yeah, there was nothing. It was, and then when he said Madison, I was watching it and I was like, did he accidentally say Madison and not Hannah?
So then 1 month later, Peter and Hannah Ann meet for the first time since their romantic day. She's in near tears as he opens the door. I have no doubt that I'm falling in love with you and I love you. I'm just struggling. When I said yes to you, I said yes to a partnership, says Hannah. Mm-hmm. If you can't give me that love in return, that it's not a relationship. And then we are cut to a studio audience. The two exes reunite on the stage. Words are powerful, Peter. Either you don't mean what you say or you don't understand how you impact people. So which one is it? Oh. Do you believe that they had any conversations in the last few weeks? Or do you think that that breakup was soon after he returned?
I think it was soon after, only because like the filming of them like meeting up I was like, that's never happened. I mean, maybe that's happened when things weren't going great. So I feel like production knew they had broken up and they were like, well, we have to film this.
I am suspect of the FaceTime call that Peter made to Hannah Ann once he returned home. As we all remember, he walks back in the door. He says to his parents, I am engaged, and has a very long, drawn out monologue about how he had finally found somebody. And his weird, creepy brother, who looks like a Fraggle, was sitting on the couch waiting. And then they FaceTime Hannah Ann, and she was quite mellow in her response. Yay, can't wait to be part of your family. Yeah. I don't think that someone would do that, because I think that at that point, you're still suppressing your personality for television purposes. So she would have pretended to be a little bit more excited. So either she really found out that Barb was a nightmare mother-in-law, or they had actually broken up and ABC forced her to videotape that. What do you think?
I think I agree with you. It was too weird and it seemed really set up. Also, like, whose house was that? I don't think it was anyone's house.
I agree with you. I didn't know. It looked like Ari Lewandek's apartment before Lauren moved to Arizona. Which leads me to believe it's probably some producer's apartment.
Yeah, because I'm like, who loves their family so much that they don't want their 28-year-old to move out and they don't have a single family photo on the wall? Like that, I know Barb. I feel like we all know Barb and there's got to be tons of family photos. It just seemed like a set up place. And then her being like, my daughter. It was all like, and they're so thirsty as a family. I was like, and the sort of like, I don't know, like eye-opening moment was when she was like, okay, well, I guess you want to get back with your family. Like she just wanted to get off the phone.
Right.
And I was like, there's something going on.
There was
like,
something going on.
Yeah, something up. I agree with you. I think it was after. And they were like, listen, we just got to put these pieces together.
So Peter strikes me as somebody, well, first of all, we all know that he still lives at home. He strikes me as somebody that has a mother that still does her laundry, still wipes the sink clean after he's used toothpaste. She probably makes all of his meals. He probably doesn't pay a lot of his bills. I'm assuming they still pay his cell phone bill. So the idea of him giving that up to propose to someone, I just don't know if I believe that he is interested in using the money that he's made from the show for a down payment on a condo with a girl that he doesn't seem too jazzed about. Why would he leave home when his mom still coddles him and caresses his forehead at night?
No, totally. I mean, I think the reason that this season was sort of a bummer was we realized he was such like a baby boy and he can't make any decisions. And I think Kelly called him out where she was like, hi, like I'm actually ready for it. Like I'm like an actual adult and you're not. There was no way. And I think I might have made this up in my mind because it makes the most sense where he's like not going to move out of his family's house. Like he's not in any rush.
Of course he's not. Why would he? His mom irons his underwear. Of course he's not going to leave.
Yeah, it's too. Yeah, he wasn't ready at all. And I think it was a real stinker. Like, I think I knew early on. I'm sure obviously you felt the same way. It's like, this is not a real relationship, like an adult relationship in any capacity. We're watching two college students fight.
Right. Now, I also believe that Barb probably had given up her dream of acting in soap operas once she had Peter and his son or his brother, Jack.
Yeah.
I do feel that she's probably felt quite emboldened by her television appearance on the show. It's been, I don't know, 10 weeks of primetime viewing, and she's had a bunch of people stop her at Trader Joe's and say, for the love of God, Barbara, you better get yourself back out there to auditions. So I feel like that compounded with her belief that she runs that household with an iron fist, that she's drunk with fame right now and really believes herself to be in a position that she could get like a 3-episode arc on Bold and the Beautiful. I would have prepped her for interviews by saying, once you're out on the stage and you see Hannah Ann come out and they do a package where they show her getting proposed to, don't make it seem like she's your long lost daughter. Make it seem like you are grateful for the opportunity to see two young people have a journey on television. Then I would have asked her to maybe dial it down with Madison too. And that leads us into the second part of the finale, which I know that you are fired up about. Okay.
I am. I'm ready. I'm ready for it.
So Chris Harrison heads to Madison's hometown of Auburn, Alabama, And he says it's without Peter's knowledge. I believe this was probably all filmed in one day in Alabama. They kept Peter in a white van, perhaps with a bandana around his mouth, and said, you can come out when I say. So totally. Chris Harrison says that Peter was not engaged, or at least he got engaged, but not anymore. And that's because of his feelings for her. And she says, if I had a second chance, I would take him in a heartbeat. Did you believe that? Did you believe that she has been heartbroken all these weeks and that she was willing to take him back? Or do you think producers said, which I believe, if you film this because our season sucks, we will give you an opportunity to talk to somebody at William Morris?
I totally agree with that. I think it was like, hey, like this could be a great platform for you. Like this could be really successful for you. Like, look at this. And also just the way that she's been handling herself has been very like PR based. For sure, there's been a deal made. And like, also for me is when she went, well, I guess we're going back to LA. Like the way she said that, I was like, what? Like, yeah. And I don't think so. I think it was like an intense moment. Maybe she had feelings for him then, but I certainly don't think they were residual. Like the whole thing just seemed a bit not authentic. That's silly to say talking about The Bachelor, but I was not buying it. Absolutely not.
I also have to believe that she went home and talked to her parents, and especially that father with feathered hair said to her over and over and over again, you did the right thing. You are a woman of God. You should not have been with somebody who just had sex with a girl 12 hours before you. They probably riled her up. So for her to all of a sudden say, all of those things that bothered me so deeply when I was away from my parents somehow have gone away, and now I'm open to the idea of getting engaged to somebody who is very excited to talk about his sexual prowess and his family as well.
Oh, yeah. No, I like saying that she was like not into Peter, essentially. I felt like she was a bit like, I can't even think of the word of it. But like her sitting with Peter, like I think she just was being very cold and very like polite and courteous. But yeah, I certainly felt like, you know, there was like, so there's a deal under the table that's just like keeping her there. Because even the way she handled Barb, who like really went at her, it was like very like, like politician-esque, where she was just like, okay, let's just grin and bear it. Cause you've promised me whatever is going to come out on Instagram in a couple of months. Thank you very much. Like it just seemed like grinning and bearing it for sure. Yeah. There's no way that her and Peter are ever going to be together. Her parents didn't even like him to begin with. I think they were all just like, yeah, there seemed to be a plan there from the beginning. You know, if you stay there longer, you get more Instagram followers. Like if you stay there longer, you're more in the press. Like there was just something about it.
She could have said, you know, in hindsight, maybe it wasn't the best choice for me given my set of values. I totally respect his. I just know that we come from different ends of the spectrum. And I'm grateful for the experience. I've learned a lot about myself and what I want in a relationship. And I think, you know, all parties are going to win in the end because I'll find the right person and he will as well. I'm very sorry that it may have seemed like I was dismissive of you, Mr. and Mrs. Weber. But as you can imagine, it was a high pressure situation and I may have come across the wrong way, but please understand that I went into this with the right intentions. She did not say that. She sat there. She smirked. She didn't say, I apologize for the 3 hours. She ended up looking just as much as a villain as Barb did. And for that, I think the publicist for the network or the personal producer that she's given did not do her justice. And also, it would have helped if her parents were in the audience. The fact that they weren't there made it look like they think that they're too good for the show, which then kind of goes back to Barb's point. Which I think she was trying to say was, I don't like this girl because not only do they have a totally different lifestyle, but she's judgy of us. And I don't like that.
Yeah. I mean, like that was the thing too. Like I felt like Madison through the whole season, regardless, like, hey, if you want to save yourself till marriage, it's not for me. It's for you. Like go for it. But she was giving an ultimatum. Like she was. she was mad at his choices, regardless of how I would feel about it in the real world. We'd all be mad. But she did seem a bit judgmental, and she was angry, which I would rather an honest response. Like, I'd rather her be like, you're being rude, than like this pretend sort of courteous and understanding forgiveness, like forgiving person. Which I don't think Madison is, because who is that? That person doesn't exist ever. No. So I think the frustrating thing was watching Madison get all of these accolades when truly she's, you know, I'm sure she did hold up production for 3 hours. I'm sure she wasn't really having it. I'm sure she was really curt and rude. Like, even when she showed up before she met the parents, like she was a little toddler having a fit. Like, hi, yeah, I guess I'm ready to meet your parents, whatever. I'm like, if you don't want to be there, don't be there. What has been promised to you? Why are you here? You don't like him. You don't like what's going on. I mean, Barb went at it intense. You know what I mean? Like, she really went for it. But yeah, I think they were both sort of on the same playing field in a way. So I kind of agree with you on that one for sure.
I think she should have just said, you know, it all comes out in the wash. If Barb had just said that, it would be enough that people would do their own investigative work, and then she can wipe her hands clean. Mm-hmm. She didn't have to go all the way there. I loved when she turned to her husband and in Spanish, as if people can't do some sort of body language or lip reading, and said, please say something bad and back me up. You could tell in that moment that Peter is much like his father. He's like, listen, your mother rules the roost. I do what she says. And he did try to have her back, but didn't do it in probably in as effective a way as she would have appreciated. I'm just saying, I don't think that they had sex that night.
No, absolutely not. No, oh my God. I have seen my dad look like that my entire life. My mom would agree. But I also was like, can you imagine someone was coming at you and like your partner doesn't do anything? Like, Peter just sat there like a good little boy. And I was like, see, this is like ultimately the problem here.
Yeah.
I was livid. You know, regardless if you stood with Madison or not, I was like, say something. Maybe I'm Barb. I don't know. I was like, say something, Peter. But
What did you think about Hannah Ann saying that he contacted Hannah Brown after they got engaged for closure? Is that unacceptable?
I mean, yeah. I guess it depends on like, this is not real life, right? So like, they've really known each other. Like, how long is filming? 4 weeks? 3 weeks? It's something short, right?
I think 4 weeks, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, I mean, Hannah shows up. He can't really talk to her. He's really in love with Madison. He also kind of likes Hannah Ann. So I feel like there's a lot of phone calls to be made. I think my huge issue with Peter is he doesn't want to ever look like a bad guy, although he is. Like, he's just a little boy who like is messing around and not ready for like the big boy pants. So like, I don't think he wants Hannah Brown to think he's a bad guy. He certainly doesn't want Hannah Ann to think he's a bad guy, which is why he called her parents, which is also strange. I think I'm just like, yeah, it's just him trying to like cover all of his bases. And I think that's why she was extra mad. It wasn't like, hey, I needed to like, you know, just make sure Hannah B and I are cool and our friendship is cool. It was like him needing her to think he's a good person. Which
interesting. I was under the assumption that he called Hannah Brown and said, I just went through this horrendous tornado and now I get it. And I just need one person who's not involved with production, who understands what I've been through and how impossible it was for me to make a decision, how much they pressured me into making a decision.
Right.
And how all I want to do is go home to Sherman Oaks or Thousand Oaks and line dance. I just want to go line dancing and maybe make out with a girl or like do some blow in the bathroom or I don't know, whatever he does, because they made it seem like he lives this crazy lifestyle, didn't they? His parents were like, you know, he has very different lifestyle than you. I know she's a virgin, but like, does she just stay in and do Bible study all day? Like, she doesn't go out to bars and just hang out. Does she drink? I think I saw her drinking wine. They made it seem like he does crazy stuff. And I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, I don't know. She kept saying like, my son parties. And then wasn't his brother like, oh, he parties. Like, it was a big thing. Like,
but what
he
does that mean?
Boy.
He parties.
I don't know.
What does that mean? Are we talking about like, he'll throw back, you know, 4 bottles of beer and then do a split on the middle of the dance floor and then like do a high kick in his cowboy boot and then go home? Or like, are we talking about like, does he get hookers in Las Vegas? Does he go to brothels? Like, what is this guy doing?
Well, that's totally the thing, right? Like when someone says to me, like, hey, just so you know, like they party, like I am thinking like
drugs,
you know,
right?
Yeah, they're doing coke in the bathroom. Yeah, they're messy. Like I don't like someone who just like has like a few Miller Lights. I'm not like, hey, by the way, Brian parties, right. Just so you know, Brian parties. I mean, like, you know, Peter looks like he gets tipsy off two little tiny cans of beer and he tries to find the beat, you know, like that's his party, which seems whatever.
Isn't he a drink, like a wine drinker? I feel like they said he drinks Chardonnay.
Couldn't be the soft, like he couldn't be any more soft. Do you know what I mean? Like oh a buttery goodness. Chardonnay and is he, the drink of choice.
And he pegs his pants. He wears loafers without socks. I feel like this is not an aggressive guy. I don't think he goes and gets prostitutes. I think that he has a way with women. He was raised by a mom who likes to remind him how important sex is. And he just has a lot of sex. And he kind of has no interest in getting serious. I'm going to say he'll probably get married like 38.
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
Because he's going to, I don't think he's done with the franchise. Like, I think he'll lay low, but I think he's going to come back in some capacity. I wouldn't be surprised. And he's going to, you know, he'll be like front row at Stagecoach. There's no doubt about that.
When it comes back in October.
When it comes back, I mean, fingers crossed, so many alum, Bachelor alum, just so upset. Totally they can't pissed. Go to Stagecoach. But, like, I mean, the scene with Hannah when she met the parents, I think is really indicative. Like, they seem very sexual. Like, it was basically a kiss off between the two of them that I would never do that in front of my parents. I mean, the kissing of he was basically sucking on her shoulder. I feel like he just wants to have a bunch of sex. His parents are cool with it. They want to see the girls in the morning and make them breakfast.
Yes, exactly.
She's the cool mom who's like, whatever, as long as it's in my house, you're my family, you're my daughter. You know, like, cool, you know, the box of wine's in the basement, honey. But yeah, like, I feel like I do you think that Madison made them feel like their lifestyle was wrong and that's why they were so harsh to them?
Absolutely.
He is incredibly sexual. I will say, like, he made out with literally everyone and he like propped everyone up on a small dresser. Like everyone got a lift. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, even when Hannah, I don't know if you noticed this, but like when Hannah and him were breaking up, he just cranked her leg like up on him. And she was like, oh, like every moment is like a sexy moment to him. So, yeah.
Do you like it when a man wraps his hand around your face and comes in for a kiss? Is that great? Like one time in the beginning of the dating, but would you enjoy it like 6 months into it?
I feel like the first big fight that a relationship has and it happens to be raining and maybe I walked away and he comes and grabs me and he's like 6'4" and like when he lifts me, he doesn't make that sound, then yes, I'm loving a face wrap. But 6 months in, I'm like, stop. I can't with it. Like, wash your hands. Like, what's going on? I can't. Do you like it? Like,
I mean, no.
Your full face. Like, you know.
No. But you have to understand that my husband is a very affectionate person and says things to me like, will you come over to the couch and rub my arm? And I'm the person that says, I can't, I'm busy. And he'll say, doing what? And I'll say, just things. I don't really like to be touched. I don't like nail salon people to like give me a massage. Mm-hmm. If somebody hands me a massage gift certificate, I wonder how am I going to hide this? So that's not my jam.
I get that. I have never had a pedicure I've ever enjoyed. I'm so your woman. I'm just like, what do I do? I talk? You're holding my hands. I'm sorry. They're dry. I don't know how to fix that. This is the life. Like him sucking on Hannah's shoulder, I think I will think about almost daily as something I never want in my life. I'm like blushing just thinking about him doing it at this current moment. So absolutely not. No, thank you. And his legs are so thin.
So thin. Oh, I would just hate to stand next to him in a pool. Oh.
Oh my God. I just imagine my legs wrapped around those little stems and like, I can't navigate it. I can't.
Well, I also think about him because as women do, we think about him in 40 years. So I just picture like lollipop legs with like a beer belly and a receding hairline.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, like it's happening.
It is. That receding hairline is definitely happening like right now.
Yeah. I mean, his dad has a full head of hair. It's not going anywhere, but Peter's hairline has some opinions and I think it wants to go south. So,
All right. Totally. Let's talk about Love is Blind, since Love is Blind is a much better version of The Bachelorette. Okay.
The it totally is.
Reunion. Did you think that Nick Lachey and Vanessa Lachey were pointless?
I absolutely did. I did listen to some of the episode with the creator of it. I was like, they were. We didn't need them. And I loved Nick's at the reunion when he was like, and I'm obviously Nick Lachey, like really trying to make that happen for him. And I was like, it's not Nick. Why were they there?
Well, also, Nick, Cameron and Lauren both have more Instagram followers than you do. I felt like Vanessa overshot it. Like I feel like she's so upset she's not being cast in Hallmark and Lifetime movies that this was her one foray back into this Netflix stratosphere that she overplayed her hand.
I agree. Like she really went for it. And especially at the reunion, I was like trying to like, you know, really like show like, hello, remember me? Hi, I'm back. And I was like, okay, I'm loving that. Okay. But I don't know how much I really like need it.
Do you think that Barnett and Amber will be married in a year and a half from now?
I totally do. I will say that they were a couple for me that I was surprised that they had chemistry. I didn't think the wedding was going to happen. Like, I really was, like, I was really shocked by the whole, like, thing with them. But I feel like they're kind of like, and I mean this lovingly, but, like, you know, like, that suburban, like, small town. Like, they're like my brothers. Like, small town, love them. And they're, like, they're just going to be together. That's just it. That's their life. They snowmobile. They've always got some beer in the fridge. Love them. Like, I think it'll stand the test.
I think that their dynamic is that he likes to flirt with women in front of her because he likes to see her get fired up.
Yeah, and she's the one who's like, oh, he's crazy. You're driving me nuts. You know, like she's one of those like, oh my God. And she's like, look at me with one of the guys. Like she's like small town. Like I get her at a base level.
But I also think she's fiery enough that sometimes she gets super pissed off that she will like set the curtains on fire.
Oh yes. Like I think I feel like after that reunion, she and Barnett had another fight. Like she let Jessica know what was up, but she was also like, and by the way, the residual anger I have towards her will be given to you at the Holiday Inn after this reunion. Like I think she puts him in his place.
What do you think about Cameron and Lauren?
Okay. So Cameron and Lauren, like everyone loves, obviously. At first I did think Cameron seemed very sweet. And then I'm like, okay, he just kind of lurks around and like softly touches her waist wherever she is sort of in the home. But I really like them, but their style has evolved, especially Cameron's.
Oh
like,
thank you for bringing that up. Wow.
And thank you for hearing me. Cause I feel like I'm talking in a vacuum here in Toronto about my concerns.
Yeah. I have concerns. The pajama pant suits in neon green with the sneakers are an issue for me.
Oh yeah, and they just posted before we started chatting, like he's in almost like a metallic, like very shiny, like it seems like his body's getting bigger and his head is just getting smaller. Like I'm like, what is happening? Like he's getting pretty jacked, but like they're so styled now. Yeah. Like I'm like, what's I'm like, aren't you an AI scientist? Like, aren't you supposed to be in like comfortable New Balances and like a nice cardigan? Like, what's happening?
Yeah. And I feel like the stylist is a little ambitious. Like they're somebody who is like, no, this is what they're doing in Montreal. This is what's going on in Milan. And you're like, they live in Atlanta. That's not going to trickle down for at least 4 seasons.
100%. They're like Kim K with the gym shorts. Like they're years ahead of their time.
Totally.
Yeah, I can't like they are. There's something else and there's something about it. Like he posted on his Instagram like, hey, should we start a YouTube channel? And I'm like, aren't there robots that need your assistance? Do you have time to have a YouTube channel? And now they have one. So I feel like they're gunning for like, you know, the spotlight. Maybe they'll be the new hosts.
I think they should be the new host, but I'm a little bit worried that with the coronavirus that Cameron should be in the lab. So I've got some issues with that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Get in the lab, Cameron, please. We need you.
Damien and Giannina, what's the future for these two whack jobs?
Okay. So this is the thing. Like, I feel like Damien is a hot button issue and it's Damien's like cilantro. You're either like loving him or not liking him. And even though I like cilantro, I am concerned about Damien. I just felt like he doesn't compromise with Janina at all. And Janina is like a classic 25-year-old, you know, like she reminds me of like when I dated a jazz musician and like screamed at him in the middle of the street with his guitar saying, I'm not crazy. I feel like she has that 25-year-old vibe, but I feel like he blames her for everything. And maybe off camera, he's not, but doesn't it seem like it's all blamed on her and he's not taking any responsibility?
Not only that, she worships him in a way where you're like,
yes.
I mean, he's kind of like a low rent version of the guy from Homeland. I don't know if I don't know if he's like a blow my hair back kind of guy.
No.
And I don't even know if he's jazzed about being on the show. He's just sort of like, well, it is what it is.
Totally. And I'm like, what is he getting out of it? Like, I just didn't like his whole vibe. And also, I mean, the first red flag for me was when they were in Mexico and she's like, let's get massages. And he's like, can you believe it? She wants a massage. And I was like, who are you? What cave are you from? Get out of here. Of course I have a massage. But I don't like his vibe. There's something about it. It's very toxic. And like, yeah, Janina, I feel like they're not going to last.
I think, you know, I think Janina is only on this show or doing press with Damian because she is so excited about all the Instagram followers everyone else is getting and the idea of getting a YouTube channel, because she, in every scene, and most especially the reunion, really plays it up like a soap opera actress.
Oh, totally. When she ran away, and then even her mom was like, it was supposed to be you who says no. I was like, what? What's happening here? And the running, it's like, if I was in those high heels, those would have come off quick. And it's like she was looking for hills just to see what they would do to her. The weddings weren't spectacular to me.
Do you think that they had any feedback or they were able to provide any wishes for what they wanted to have for their wedding reception room? In other words, were they able to select the satin curtains and the plastic flowers?
I feel like, yeah, Amber had said something about, because she had gotten some flack about talking about money, and she was like, no, they gave us a budget for the wedding. And I'm like, I think they were like, this curtain or this curtain, this fake flower or this fake flower. Like, I think I don't think they got that much selection.
No.
I mean, it even looks like all their engagement rings are the same.
Yeah. That was definitely not a Neil Lane kind of show. Thinking that was like a Zales kind of deal.
A sale for sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was like, it didn't seem. And then all the dresses had the same nude illusion. Like, it looked like it was the same designer. Like, it all kind of just seemed, the same.
No, but I was actually thrilled that it wasn't like Panina Tournay dresses, which we know from Yes, Say Yes to the Dress are always like those hooker light wedding dresses.
Oh, yes. Like the glowing lace. Yeah. Like, if you get a candle, they're gone. I cannot with a Panina Tournay. Oh, and she shows up too. I'm like, get out of here.
Get out of here. Yeah. Like,
Nina, please.
She's always there. Like, she's lurking behind a statue just waiting. Wait, did you say hooker? Oh, have you seen my dresses?
No, Panina, please go behind the curtain. We don't need you right now. Thank you.
Well, tell everybody where they can catch your podcast, where they can follow you, what you're working on, et cetera.
Awesome. So you can, I have a podcast called The Regulars Podcast with my best pal, Jason DeRoss, and we talk TV and pop culture and all those things. So please have a listen. And then you can find me on Instagram at the Stacey McGee. So that's STACEYMCG. And you can just see me complaining about all of the shows I'm watching, what I'm loving, what I'm taking issue with. I promise there will be gifts.
I want to thank my great guests this week, Stacey, Alaa, and Christine. And you can find me in my Facebook group, Reality Life with Kate Casey. You're going to find a bunch of really funny, funny people, especially during this isolation time. You're going to want podcast, book, and television show recommendations, and you will find it and new friends in that group. Listen, if you're isolated, don't you want to reach out to people and not only find out about their personal health, but also about what they're watching? You want to make connections with people when your house is locked up with like plastic tarps. And also you can find me on Twitter at Kate Casey. I tweet during shows and about shows all week long. And my Instagram, please check it out, is at Kate Casey CA. Wishing you a great weekend, and I will circle back with you on Tuesday. Actually, Wednesday.
once upon a beat. Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me,
DJ Fuse,
and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the New Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat.